561-2608 today.
You saw thick black and brown colored oil covering as much of the perimeter of the marsh out there. And again, our biologists tell us that marsh may begin dying in as soon as 5 to 7 days.
Brown birds, brown water makes the governor of Louisiana, Bobby Jindal, very unhappy. He's not the only one. We've been saying it for weeks now, but once it hits the shores, that's when it really, really gets nasty. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight, coast to coast and everywhere in between, from the left to the right, and those gray areas. We don't care. It's about the conversation. And that's what this ride on this highway is on ATN. You can throw in your 2 cents whenever you feel like it at 800-259-5791. So let's start with the oil spill and the very latest there. The offshore drilling showdown looms, my friends, because I think some of the politicians who were saying drill, baby, drill, shall we say, are now saying, I don't think we want to go in that direction. They're backing off of the comments, in other words, because of what's happening in the Gulf of Mexico and this oil leak, which is why a lot of conspiracy entrepreneurs, rightfully so, said, hey, do you think there's any chance that there's something more than what we're seeing on the surface here? Because the timing couldn't have been more perfect. So the government is under pressure to issue new permits for offshore drilling as early as next week, but there is going to be a big tug of war over this. And the fact that the Prez was saying initially a month ago, month and a half ago, let's open up drilling from Delaware all the way down to Florida. Boy, there are going to be a lot of sour faces and long looks and long arguments, I think, over offshore drilling. Picking up where we left off with the Gov of Louisiana, he, in fact, said, we need a lot of stuff down here. Hello, we need help. Throw us a lifeline. Here's some of the stuff we're looking for.
We don't have the resources we need to protect our coast. We need more boom, more skimmers, more vacuums, more jackup barges that are still in short supply.
All right, so that says to me all those fishermen and people that are looking for work need to hightail it down in that direction and rent out their services because it's a good chance to make a buck or two and help out with this horrific spill that we're still all trying to get our arms around. It's the same question or questions, why and how much? And we're not going to really truly, I think, know the answers to all that for months to come. They can be investigating all they want, but it's all about the cleanup. And because most of the pressure is there and on the financial side, I think the whodunit, why did this happen, kind of takes a back seat to it all. It doesn't take a back seat with me, though, and I'm sure with many of you, because, you know, let's find out, really. Was it Transocean? Was it BP? Was it the argument on the platform over what to do? What was it that really triggered this? It pretty much looks like the cement process. It looks like that's where the big problems occurred. And it has to do with doing it on the cheap a little bit and also a lack of regulations, which is so surprising when you think of the amount of money that they're making in pumping this stuff out of the water and pulling it out of the Gulf of Mexico, which is the whole idea behind offshore drilling, that you've got those resources, and once you find them, it is drill, baby, drill, because you're trying to, of course, suck out all the oil that you can, for lack of a better way to describe it. All right, some other things that we're going to talk about on this show include U.S. troops in Afghanistan. You know, this is near and dear to my heart because I feel for everybody and the families who sacrifice year after year after year. And I know a lot of people appreciate what the troops do. I've been to even stadiums where everybody's jumped up on their feet and there's been a standing ovation for the troops who march into the stadium during halftime or whatever. But I still think not enough is being done to, one, honor the troops and make them feel right when they come back. Make them feel like they have a place to be and like they did something for this country, and we appreciate the service. I know many of you feel the same way. You've written me letters. You certainly have called the show. A lot of the emails we've read over the air, we've had people on the show who have sacrificed. We know all that, but you can never say enough. So now there are more troops in the raging war in Afghanistan than Iraq. Not surprising, since we're surpassing the numbers and the time as well, and the investment of resources goes up. So as of this past weekend, it's like a turnstile. You click through, 94,000 U.S. forces in Afghanistan, 92,000 were in Iraq. Now, the idea of the U.S., of course, is reducing the presence in Iraq, as was the agreement with the Iraqi government. And that means ultimately getting it down to 50,000 troops as of September 1st. And then all of the troops removed by the end of 2011. Here's the thing. Where do you think those troops will go? Is there going to be a war now in Korea? Is there going to be a war with North Korea? Would that last any length of time? Could there possibly be a war with Iran? So many of the military experts who are willing to talk that we've talked to, and terrorism experts, think that the big mistake was not going after Pakistan. So maybe Pakistan is also looming. We talk about the Pakistani-Afghanistan border, the hornet's nest that it is, but fully going into Pakistan is a completely different thing. This is why you see the Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton. How many times has she gone to Pakistan and recently talking about trying to secure more information, more trust with the Pakistanis? But yet you see that some of the Pakistan army is tainted with Islamic jihadists. So what good does that do when they're relaying information and training people who are lying in wait in the United States? Also coming up on this show, we're going to talk about a couple of things that made news around the country, including this made very, very big news, and we're going to let our technical maestro give us some more details on this when we get to it, but it had to do with an incredible amount of bees and a horrible accident in Minnesota. And as I said, it did make big national headlines over this crazy accident that sent the bees into the air. And, you know, when you think of bees, if you remember this or if you read anything about it, there is a shortage, not kind of, there is a shortage of bees in this country. And it has to do with the migration patterns and the fact of some of them dying off in the hives. So if you look at the price of honey, it really surged up because they're not producing as much. And moving bees and transporting bees to pollinate certain areas is a big deal and costs sometimes a lot of money because of the fact that there's now this shortage of these bees. So we'll tell you all about that accident, crazy thing that happened there. But coming up around the bend for something completely different. Do you know that there is a cockroach museum in the United States? It's true. About 6,000 people a year go to the cockroach museum. And at this museum, there's cockroach races. There's best dressed cockroach contests. I'm just thinking of all my friends. I went to school in Ohio and they left and went to New York. Thought it was going to be great. We're squeezed into a tiny apartment somewhere and always complained about the cockroaches. Anyway, there's a Hall of Fame museum in Texas, no less, and we're going to speak with the man behind that coming up in just a few.
The problem.
How do I cook food without power?
How do I light my home with no electricity?
How do I get emergency radio broadcasts?
How can I make safe drinking water?
When your power goes out, the solution for cooking, baking, home lighting, listening to the radio, and producing clean water is the Family Emergency Kit from Caro Stove. Caro Stove has been in business for over 12 years with the largest selection of kerosene stoves and family preparedness supplies in the U.S. Now, get the Family Emergency Kit at kerostove.com for only $4.29 plus shipping, a savings of nearly $200. It's perfect for off-the-grid living. Call 888-395-1164 today. That's 888 888- 395-1164 and ask about weekly specials or check the specials online each week at kerostove.com. Again, call 888-395-1164 or go to kerostove.com. Kero Stove, for family emergency solutions.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realist, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30% while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should too. Find out what they know. Call us and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well. Free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Times are tough, and you gotta stretch that dollar. A special invitation for listeners to save. Sign up at DoobleyShoppers.com today and start paying the absolute guaranteed lowest internet retail prices for the coolest stuff. New premium brand name TVs, laptops, watches, camcorders, Blu-ray players, and more. All with factory warranties, just like you get from a retail chain. Except for the absolute guaranteed lowest internet retail prices. They start low and go lower with our reverse auctions.
You save even more with your first $8 auction purchase.
Doobly will give you an instant $25 dining certificate good at thousands of nationwide restaurants, plus a $500 vacation discount voucher, usable at hundreds of resorts around the U.S. and world.
Sign up today at DoobleyShoppers.com.
Pay the absolute guaranteed lowest internet retail prices, and listeners receive special rewards. It's worth a peek to keep money in your pocket and the coolest stuff in your home and garage. Sign up today at DoobleyShoppers.com. That's D-U-B-L-I Shoppers.com. You'll be glad you did.
Her hair is hollow gold, her lips sweet as pride. Her hands are never cold. She's got better days aside. She'll turn
I bet you're still reeling, America, from my last statement that, yes, there is a Cockroach Hall of Fame museum, no doubt. It's called the Pest Shop. And if you are ever in Plano, Texas, which is a stone's throw away from Dallas, this is something I think you probably should go and check out. And the reason is because could it be more unique? And you think of the relationship, rather, people have with pests. As I said, growing up in, you know, New York, New Jersey, the thoughts of cockroaches, you know, that sends everybody scurrying in to the corners. But this is a real thing. And the curator of the Cockroach Hall of Fame Museum was gracious enough to hang late with us and talk to us across the country for all of you listeners who are curious. Michael Bodan is here, and Bodan, rather. And Michael, thank you so much for joining us on the show. We appreciate it.
Well, great. What's bugging you guys today?
All kinds of things.
Okay, great.
Tell us about the idea behind the Cockroach Museum. How'd you come up with this?
Well, actually, what it was is one day I was in a post office and I saw this wanted poster, dead or alive, and I figured, well, why can't I take that person's face out of it and put a cockroach in? And I did, and I came back to the house and kind of came up with an idea to make a poster and said, okay, I don't have a lot of money to advertise, so why don't I try a unique way of trying to get some interest for my museum and store. So I did it, and CNN heard about it, and all of a sudden they send the film crew out from Atlanta, and they tape a segment. It goes on TV around the country, and then it took off. And it was the search for Dallas's largest cockroach, where I paid $1,000 for the city of people to look for roaches. And they brought them on in, and we measured them. And then I ended up on The Tonight Show, where I put a cockroach on a leash. And that really exploded the exposure. And from there, it just took off.
And so the Tonight Show thing, the cockroach on the leash, leash, what was that like? What was the, how did, what did the audience do when they saw you come out?
Well, it was really surreal. I was the first guest on the night, and I get out there, and I mean, I finally realized just before I go on where I am. My mouth got real dry and everything, so I get out there. I go into kind of automatic mode, and 19 minutes later, I walk off the stage, and I came back to Dallas, and Ed McMahon said to me, he said, Michael, he said, this show's going to change your life, and I didn't think anything about it. Well, I end up in getting a call from about five different chemical manufacturers to be spokesman for them. So I decided to work for American Cyanamin, who had a product on the market called Combat Roach Control. And then they sponsored me for 5 years, and I traveled the country where I would go. I only had a 30-day-a-year contract, and I'd go to New York or Miami or New Orleans. And we first started off looking for the largest cockroach in the United States and then the world. And then the last 2 years of the promotion, they would pay $1,000 for the best-dressed cockroach. Well, when the promotion was done, they were going to throw all these roaches away. So I saved them and made a museum.
You saved all the roaches. And then you did a lot of crazy things with them, too, right? Don't you have dead celebrity roaches? What kind of dead celebrities do you have?
Well, what it is the people that made a lot of these things were very creative. So we had, like, Liberace. We have Ross Perot. We have Marilyn Monroe. It's only about 25 cockroaches, but, you know, it's the only museum in the world that has legs on it.
There you go, has legs on it. Wow. When you traveled around the country and you were looking for the largest cockroach, do you remember how big was the largest cockroach?
Well, the largest one in Dallas started off was 1.88 inches, which is not very big, but the roach that we were looking for is one that's pretty common in New York, Miami, or wherever, and it's called the Paraplanada americana, which is the American cockroach, and that's what kept it kind of equal, because if someone threw a ringer in from, like, Africa, there's a Madagascar, we have the hissing cockroaches, which are about 4 inches, so we didn't want those. I've got in the museum now alive, that's a whole nother story, but we didn't look for those during the contest.
Wow, Madagascar, so they, what's the thing with the hissing? What are they hissing about?
Well, when you pick them up, the noise is actually coming from the rear, and they have these little holes that they can open and close, and they're expelling air. It's kind of like for communication, or in nature when they're crawling around, if an animal would pick them up, they go, and then the animal gets startled, and they drop the roach, and then they run away, and it's a safety mechanism.
Wow.
So we'll have... roach races were coming up now with the holidays, so I'll spray paint them, you know, blue and red and white, and we'll have a little patriotic theme and have cockroach races on the weekend.
So obviously you've become a curiosity, and your shop has become a curiosity. And are people surprised when they come in and they see the displays and the live hissing Madagascar roaches?
Yeah, you know, I mean, who really would think there's a museum to a dead cockroach that's dressed up? But people are funny. They hate cockroaches when they're running around on the kitchen table. But when one has a pink tutu on or dressed up, you know, I'm working on one now, an exhibit with Ellen DeGeneres. And it's going to be the picture of Ellen DeGeneres on a cockroach and with legs, her arms, and it's going to be dancing. So it's funny how you can be inspired by this.
Yeah, no kidding. And so, it's called the pest shop, so I imagine you certainly know how to kill the critters too, right?
Well, that's it. You know, half the day I'm out in the morning. I start work about 5 a.m., and I go out, and people hire me to kill the cockroaches so they don't get in their homes. And then in the afternoon, I kind of flip the story, and then here I am having a museum and do-it-yourself store where people can come in and talk about getting rid of roaches. But then in the meantime, they can look and laugh, and people come in. I get about probably 8,000 people a year come in, and they come in now from all over the world. The Internet has made my 200-square-foot museum worldwide, and when you see a YouTube video, you think, man, this place is pretty big, but it's only 200 square feet.
Yes, you. I mean, you have to have. I would think you have a love-hate relationship kind of with roaches, right? Because you love them in the museum, but then you hate them when you're out there trying to get rid of them.
That's right. I mean, they pay my mortgage on my house, so I mean, the only good cockroach is a dead cockroach.
I have to say, this is somebody from the East Coast. One of the funniest things you have is the Statue of Liberty with the, instead of the torch, there's a roach on the Statue of Liberty.
Right. And you don't want to know where that roach, where that torch is. It's up the roaches, you know what?
yeah, I don't think so. And the Liberoche that you described was actually donated by a woman who's like 85 years old, and she donated it to. She came up with that. It's incredibly creative.
Right, and it is. It's fantastic. If people go to our website, they'll see pictures of it, and there's a little YouTube video on, and they can see. And it's a roach at a piano. It has a candelabra. It's a black piano, and it actually plays the piano. I hit a little button, and some sort of little music comes. So people really have fun. One of the other ones is kind of neat. It's Marilyn Monroe. And it's a roach that's got high heels on and a blonde wig. And it's from like 7 year itch. And when I take a little air hose and I put it under the skirt, it kind of flips up like the movie. So I didn't know that roaches wore panties, you know.
I bet you didn't know that. Michael, very entertaining. I'm sure that there are more interesting things to come out of the Cockroach Hall of Fame Museum in the future. We appreciate the time.
Well, thank you for having me.
All right, you're welcome. How funny is that? You think about this. He's going out and he is snuffing these critters out. He is just trying to get rid of them. It's like he said, he's making money this way. But yet he has this museum, as he described, that has these incredible displays of cockroaches, including live ones. And I'll post some more on the America Tonight website, but the Liberoche one, you really have to see it. Pretty much does look like Liberace, and this is a roach, and this is a roach playing a piano. I don't know how people came up with these ideas, but it is, I have to say, it is pretty creative and pretty hilarious. I can see why there would be those who would scour around in their homes to try to find a big cockroach if they were going to get $1,000 for it, but can you imagine these roaches dressed up as various characters or scenes from movies and whatnot, and the hissing roaches, that's kind of wild. In Madagascar, of course, if anybody's been there, you know that that's what you would hear, but 4 inches long, 1 inch thick, making that hissing noise. Well, they're not worried about the cockroaches in the Gulf Coast. They're worried about the oil. We'll have more on the oil spill, the very, very latest, and some of the hot headlines making news. Hang with us.
I'm concerned about food for my family in the event of an emergency, and I know you are too. Are you ready? Don't wait for an emergency to happen. Put a plan together now with quality dehydrated food from Ready Reserve Foods. For nearly 40 years, Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, canning the finest in dehydrated foods. Other companies just broker canned foods. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer, controlling quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packing for maximum shelf life. Ready Reserve offers a balanced selection of fruits, vegetables, dairy products, proteins, and grains. Choose from a variety of pre-selected units or order by individual can to customize your own plan. When you purchase from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Call today for a free catalog, 1-800-453-2202, or visit ReadyReserveFoods.com. Call 1-800-453-2202. Ready Reserve Foods. Factory direct, wholesale pricing.
You're listening to GCN. Genesis Communication Radio Network.
We all know that the Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 4 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water systems. The revolutionary Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and re-cleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels, and removes harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light system today, complete with two black Berkey Elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include 3 Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, 3 Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free, but only for a limited time. Just call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653 now to order. That's 1-877-886-3653, or order online now at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
If you suffer from poor sleep, you've got to try MyPillow. Introducing the most revolutionary, most comfortable, and coolest pillow ever, MyPillow. Imagine your very own custom fit pillow. MyPillow is the only pillow of its kind on the market that uses a patented fill, custom made to your exact individual needs. MyPillow is 100% made in the USA and has a natural built-in cooling effect that keeps your cervical nerves cool, and that helps you get the best REM sleep possible. MyPillow helps alleviate snoring, migraine, sleep apnea, and other sleeping disorders. MyPillow is antimicrobial, non-allergenic, dust-mite resistant, machine washable and dryable, comes in many sizes and will not go flat. And best of all, MyPillow comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. So what do you have to lose? Except poor sleep. Go to MyPillowShop.com. Mention coupon code GCN and receive up to $40 off. That's MyPillowShop.com. Or call 952-442-6199. That's 952-442-6199. MyPillow, for the rest of your life.
Are you prepared? Well, you need to be hardcore prepared. There is a difference. To be hardcore prepared, equip yourself with the latest survival gear available at TacTownGear.com. All TacTown gear has been field tested by Canadian and U.S. forces, so you know it's tough. What kind of gear? 72-hour survival kits as low as $55. Holsters for $21. Ankle holsters as low as $40. Flashlights, knives, binoculars, sleeping bags, boots, weapons, accessories, and much more available only at TacTownGear.com. Order now and receive free shipping and a free gift on orders over $175. Need more? Receive free shipping, a free gift, and a 10% discount on orders over $250. Visit TacTownGear.com right now for your preparedness needs. That's TACTownGear.com. TacTownGear.com. Or call TacTown Gear at 418-844-9111. Again, that's 418-844-9111.
America. So we had our laughter over the cockroaches. Back to business, the business of oil and the dirty little secrets. Like this one, Jindal, who we played at the top of the show, who asked for all kinds of help and talked about what was starting to happen and what was going to happen to, you know, the wetlands, basically, is waiting for federal permits to try to build some new barrier islands. And, I mean, Nightmare doesn't even do justice to the situation that is now in the laps of the people in the Gulf Coast region. So he's asking for permission to be able to do that because you've got that thick oil that's just, I mean, it is slamming into those marshes. So he's upset because everybody's ringing his phone off the hook. He's the governor. He's calling the White House and BP to either stop the oil spill or just get out of my way, because he's been waiting for the government to come in with the millions of feet in boom. That's what he was talking about, that they needed help and to approve this emergency permit for the plan to dredge and to build new barrier islands to keep the oil from reaching the marshes and the wetlands. I think we talked about this earlier. What do you do? You know, I'm the governor, you're the governor, and you know the oil is coming in, and you have to try to do some kind of prevention. So you're calling everybody and anyone, and you're not getting these calls returned quickly enough. Jindal is so desperate that he's saying he'll build them even if he has to go to jail. He's saying, screw you, federal government. I got to do something to protect my wetlands because they're ruined. Once you get in here, it's not about rubbing the the liquid, cleaning liquid on the birds and making a nice little commercial about it. I mean, we're done. We're toast. You're not going to be able to get this out of here. So Jindal's had enough. He blew his top. He said, I'm frustrated with this incredibly disjointed effort that has meant too little too late for the oil slamming into our coast. We got to do something. You know, the oil already, I keep saying, how big is this? How big is this? It's actually hit about 65 miles plus of shoreline. The slick, if we want to put that into perspective, I was talking to somebody today about this, and, you know, we all are about trying to figure out, okay, let's wrap our mind around this. The slick is about as big as, let's say, Delaware and Maryland combined. I heard that from somebody. And you think about this. It's not a laughing matter. It's a ridiculous matter. So while beaches can kind of be cleaned up and you've got to maybe do the thing with the baby oil on your foot and you're not happy about it, but the oil can get out of there, the marshes can't. And really, Louisiana, if you've ever been to Louisiana, I don't know why I didn't think about this at first, but most of Louisiana's coastline is marshland. That's what it is. So the whole shoreline would be destroyed. It would just be black sludge. If they don't get the resources fast, and I mean fast, then they need, he's right, they need skimmers, they need vacuums, they need barges, they need whatever to stop it. Every single day, it's killing off another day in the marsh, another foot of the marsh, whatever, as it starts to roll back. And that's really what Louisiana is. It's not like the Jersey Shore. It's not like the Florida coastline. It's not like North Carolina on the shoreline at all. It's not like the Outer Banks. Of course not. It's completely different terrain. It's marshes. That's exactly what it is. So when it gets in there, it seeps deep. And once it seeps in there and with all that wildlife, there it's a really futile fight. Because you don't, there's nothing that, you know, BP can talk about it. Other people can talk about what you can do. But the operation of cleanup is pretty much just null and void. Because you'll never be able to get it all out. Never. Never. All right, so how about what's going on with Operation Top Kill? So back in the Gulf, meanwhile, BP is delaying the top kill option. They're moving back any attempt until now Wednesday. See, originally it was going to be the weekend, then it's Tuesday, now it's Wednesday. BP is saying that they're going to inject heavy drilling fluid into the well to stop it, but it might not actually work. The technique has worked before, but they've never used it this deep down, 5,000 feet deep. That's what we're talking about, this current leak. That's how far they would have to go. So they're waiting to try to make sure they have everything in place for this, and now it's getting pushed back another day until Wednesday. So you see what's happening in Louisiana. You feel the pain of Jindal, and I love it, where he says, screw it. You want to arrest me? Arrest me, because I'm just going to do it. I don't have the permits. I've been trying to find somebody to help us. You're not going to help us. You're not going to help us, federal government. Then I got to do what I got to do with to help my state. Isn't this interesting? In a different way, this is what our country has become. Your governor and your state legislators have to fight to prevent whatever it is that ails the state so much more, 10 times more than ever before, because whatever federal response or help they would get is so slow in coming. It's like molasses that it's too late. He's right. It's too late by the time there isn't enough of a response. You can't save whatever it is. It's like Arizona. Hey, we're stuck. We've got drug issues. We've got problems with gangs. And we can't wait anymore. So we're going to do this. And then holy hell rains down on Arizona for their new immigration law that really is an old immigration law, but it's just something that really was never enforced federally. So it's like, hey, we've got the flag out. Help us, for goodness sake. You know, I'm about small government, but not no government. I'm not saying no government whatsoever. I'm about teeny-weeny government for a reason. Because you see how they keep bungling it when they have the opportunities. So the cleanup thing, I mean, Jindal's right. Why can't you have those skimmers out there and those booms? Because this has now been over a month. So, like, you didn't know that was happening? Of course they knew that was happening. They didn't have enough people, and they didn't try to worry about what they could do to stave off the gook from hitting the wetlands. I mean, they have to be thinking about those kind of things. You got to be in front of the disaster instead of behind it. You can't always find yourself in that position, but for goodness sake, when you are, you got to take advantage of it. So, you know, Jindal is correct, and the Coast Guard is getting their nose out of joint. They're saying that the boom is being distributed according to contingency plans that each Gulf Coast state signed. So they're saying that the governor's plan for new barrier islands are being evaluated, but after approval, they could take up to 9 months to construct. So you know what? I'm right there with the gov. Stop the spill or get out of my way. Get out of my way because this is going down and I got to do something. It's like he's asking people to stand out there. It's like when you have the flood coming and you see all these people and you think, oh, isn't that awesome? You got all those people out there sandbagging, killing themselves, filling up the sand, doing whatever they can to try to stave off that wall of water. That's what's happening in Louisiana, because the more that gets into the marshes, the more they will not be able to fix it. It will be completely destroyed. And so if they're not going to move, then they need to get out of the way of the state. Let them go ahead and do it. And all bets are off, because whatever works is what they need to be doing there. Jindal is completely 100% correct in that. And there's just too much confusion. All right, I said some of the other hot headlines. Besides that, you're up to date now on the oil spill and the top kill being delayed once again. Obama's approval ratings. Today I went to take the dog for a walk. And when I came around the corner, a guy that lives a couple streets down from me said, hey, did you see the approval ratings? And I said, well, yes, of course I always see the approval ratings. I always look at him. He's like, ah, they're really down. So I did check the Rasmussen report, and that's that daily tracking of the poll, and it showed that 25% of the nation's voters strongly approve of the way that Obama's performing as president. 43% strongly disapprove. So now that number has dropped a little bit. The you had the healthcare passage, and there were a lot of people. I wasn't one of them, but there were a lot of people that were on board with it because I didn't like what was in it. I think things should be done with health care, but I didn't like what was in that package. So the enthusiasm, though, among some people was there, and the numbers were a little bit higher. But now just 49% of Democrats strongly approve of Obama's performance. That's down. Think of this number. 49% down from the high of 65%. So is this just some weird deal in the daily tracking poll, or is it something that's going to stick and hold? Are people frustrated? Are Democrats just as frustrated as people who call themselves Republicans? Are independents as frustrated as people on both sides of that? Or are people confident in what's happening federally? Are they confident in this government and saying, because I've heard this from some people, to be fair, that, hey, Obama got a raw deal. Man, he inherited the financial crap. He inherited the wars. He inherited some of the economic problems. And some of that is true. But the solutions have been disastrous. The flip-flopping has been disastrous. I still cannot move off of the way I would describe right now this president, and it's ineffective. Hang with us more around the bend.
How well and how fast does Heart and Body Extract work to improve blood circulation? Listen.
My name is Ellis, and I am 66 years old, and I live in Jacksonville, Florida. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed as having clogged arteries. I had 70% blockage in one artery leading to my heart. They wanted me to go on Plavix, but I refused, knowing the negative side effects.
Heart and Body Extract is a unique balance, synergy, and proportion of herbs reaching from head to toe at maximum absorption around 95% at the cellular level.
Within the first month, I felt a dramatic difference. The heaviness in my legs was reduced, and within 2 months, I felt completely normal.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract. Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
AirAndAqua.com is your one-stop shop for some of the most affordable air and water purification systems available on the market today. AirAndAqua.com knows exactly what doesn't belong in our air and our water, and they know exactly how to help you rid your home or office of these harmful toxins. Did you know that your skin actually absorbs more chlorine while you shower than from the water you drink? AirAndAqua.com can help you eliminate dangerous chlorine from your water. AirAndAqua.com carries atmospheric water generators, glass water bottles, chlorine-reducing shower filters, air purifiers, water ionizers, filters that remove up to 95% of the fluoride in your water, whole house water purification systems, solar-powered lawn and garden products, water testing kits, and more. Visit airandaqua.com. That's air and A-Q-U-A aqua.com. Or call 1-866-380-2782. That's 1-866-380-2782. AirAndAqua.com. Purify your life today.
I'm Chiquita Banana, and I've come to say, bananas have to ripen in a certain way. When they are fresh and brown and have a golden hue, bananas taste the best and are the best for you. You can put them in a salad.
Time for fruits and nuts here on America Tonight. Check this story out. I wish I was a bus driver in New York City. You know why? Because of an MTA policy and a union contract, city bus drivers in New York City are taking an average of 2 months off each time a rider spits on them. Do you believe this? Last year, 51 bus drivers reported they were spit on and got to take 64 days off. So, do you think anybody is abusing the leave time policy? Or do you think they were genuinely traumatized by being spit in the face? So now they're looking at the definition of changing assault and changing it. You know, altogether, 153 drivers were assaulted last year in a couple of different ways. They were punched. Now, I get that. They were punched, they were kicked, and then they got spit on. But that's all it takes, just a little spit, and you're out the door, paid vacation for 2 months. Not bad, huh? I mean, you know, so why would you spit on a bus driver, though? I don't get it. I almost get the taxi driver thing, although I would never spit on anyone. But the way some of the drivers are in that city, I'm sorry, but that is the craziest, craziest thing. And some people will tell you that the bus drivers are rude and inconsiderate and drive terribly. And sometimes they just get up, people get off of stops early because they can't stand to be on the bus for very long. So it sounds like there's a big problem in New York City, and the spinning thing is crazy. I mean, that is a bizarre policy. I've never heard of such a thing. Most people have to beg just to get those sick days. You know, when you call in sick, I can't talk today. That's what people are doing. And it sounds so fake and phony that you just know that I've taken those sick calls because I've been a boss before. I've taken those sick calls from people and I just laugh because I know they're not really sick, but I'm not going to bust anyone's chops if they're hardly ever calling in sick anyway. But the spit on deal, that's our fruits and nuts for today, because they are a bunch of fruits and nuts. That's an insane story. I am so happy that nothing can rain on my parade here on America Tonight. And the reason why is because my Philadelphia Flyers are going back to the Stanley Cup playoffs. They haven't been back there since 1997. And why? They knocked off the Canadiens. Check out some of the highlights of the game.
Just east of the line, not out. All alone in front. Aaron Eschen scores! Aaron Eschen had the breakaway chance in the first period. This time he doesn't make a mistake. It's his first goal in 9 games, and the Flyers have taken the 2-1 lead in Game 5. Teaming it behind it, Richards in front, they score! Jeff Carter in his second game back, set up from behind the net, and Carter makes it 3-1 Flyers. Final 5 seconds here at the Wachovia Center. Listen to this crowd as the Flyers score the empty net goal. Ole, ole, the Flyers beat the Canadiens in 5, and they're headed to the Stanley Cup final.
Applause, applause, applause. Play-by-play guys, by the way, on the radio, Tim Saunders and Chris Therian. Sometimes you hear Bill Clements in the TV version. He used to play for the Philadelphia Flyers. He fills in for Keith Jones, a guy who's popular in Philadelphia. And Jim Jackson is the play-by-play on the TV network, which is Comcast Sportsnet Philadelphia on the TV side. So people in Philadelphia are going crazy. They're excited. The Flyers are back in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Let's go to Sam, who's listening to us in Montreal. Hello, Sam. Tough loss, but it was a really good game, I have to say.
Yeah, and Bill, at least Bill Clement knows what he's talking about. I still happen to think that this broadcaster, I'm going to be very blunt. I think he really sucks.
you're trying to create a diversion, though. Let's talk about who cares about the broadcaster? Let's talk about your Canadians. What's the mood like in Canada?
Well, not necessarily in Canada, because in
Montreal.
In some of the cases, the rest of the country, like in Toronto.
Yeah, they don't care.
Yeah, they don't give a rat's. Like, I'm going to tell you a quick story. When I was in Toronto, I told you I was in Toronto recently. So me and Julie are waiting for a friend of mine. My friend says, how am I going to recognize you? I'm going to read a French newspaper called the Journal de Montréal, Montreal Journal, right? So some guy walks by and says an anti-French remark. And I said to him in a so-called French accent, hey, guy, who hockey team still in the playoff? And his wife grabs him and says, come on, Charlie, he's right. So basically, we're happy that the Canadians went this far. But let's be blunt, they just basically ran out of gas.
They ran out of gas, and the Flyers got on a crazy, crazy roll because,
yep.
You know, I didn't even think they were getting to the playoffs. Then they get in the playoffs, and I never would have predicted this whatsoever. I really wouldn't have, to be honest.
Yeah, ditto with the Canadians. Oh, one thing, last night after I talked to you, I turned on one of the channels, and they had a classic Stanley Cup game, 1975, the last time the Flyers won it, nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
Mm-hmm.
And they're recognizing players like your uncle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Dave Schultz and, you know, like the Hillman brothers as a friend of mine calls him, Toothless Clark.
Yeah, Bobby Clark. They showed lots of shots on Versus when he was watching the team, of course.
And
Ed Snyder, here's what's interesting. Ed Snyder is still really running that team. He's the owner of the team.
Right.
And he was there when my uncle was there in the 70s. So he's had that franchise for a long time.
Right. I mean, I hate to burst your bubble there, Miss Delaney. Chicago in 6.
I don't know. I'm going to, of course, pull for my Flyers. I think it could go seven, but I think it's going to be a rough for the Flyers. I'm not going to say that. I think the Flyers played incredibly getting to where they are, and I hope, because everybody's talking about how amazing the Hawks are, I hope the Flyers are the underdogs for everybody listening, because if they are, there's a better chance that they'll win this thing.
And you want to hear the, if I would have walked up to you beginning of the playoff, or anybody, I would have said it would have been a Chicago-Philadelphia final. You know what they would have said? Hello, Bellevue.
Yeah, I agree. Nobody would have predicted that whatsoever.
Now let's get back to what you really like to talk about. I've been reading the New York Daily News, and guess who put his hat in the ring to run for governor of New York State?
Who?
Mario's son.
Oh, yeah. Andrew Cuomo, yeah.
Okay, now could you picture him eventually, if he plays his cards right, maybe taking a shot at the White House?
Well, first of all, he has to get New York.
Right.
And so you have to go from there to White House. I'm saying, at this point, I would say no.
Right.
I don't think so, but, you know, time will tell. Who says that won't happen? But first is the first step is
right.
The New York process. I don't know about that.
Okay, now what, now, since you know more, you know, if he does get elected as governor, do you think he's going to be the puppet and it's dad who's going to be the puppeteer, if you know what I'm trying to say?
No. I don't think so. I think Andrew, and I don't know him, just met him one time.
Right.
I would say that he's kind of his own guy, from what I understand.
Okay, but he's probably going to ask dad to be some
kind of... he'd ask him for advice.
Right.
He would ask him for a lot of, you know, what do I do? What are the challenges? When I step into this role, what are the things I have to look out for? And
right.
Especially because, look what's happened. Elliot Spitzer gets caught with a hooker.
Right.
Then you have Patterson and all of his problems.
Right.
So that governor's role in New York has been a wash now for a couple of years.
For sure. And you think because, I mean, certain ethnic groups will carry a lot of pull, I would think. Like, okay. I don't think, just because he's Italian, I don't think he's automatically going to get the Italian vote.
No.
No, or, you know, because I read today's Daily New York Daily News, and he was in the Israel Day parade, but it doesn't necessarily mean he's automatically going to get the Jewish vote or the African-American vote.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's a known name, and he does have whatever that would be, family history. He would have some of that maybe working for him and against him a little bit. And people know Andrew, so let's see how he does. He has a good shot. I think he has a good shot at the governor's seat, but I wouldn't go so far as to venture ahead and look into a crystal ball and say that he's going to run for president. Thanks, Sam. Sorry about your Canadians.
USA!